All right, Jabo, say good morning.
Good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. So today's daf is Chav Ches. Mamish, a lot to do. Today's daf is Chav Ches. We are picking up on Chav Zayin Amud Beis 27b, and we are picking up last two lines. So let's remember again, we're still focusing on the topic of medicinal healing through an akum. What is permitted, what's not permitted. So Rav Arachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Komaka Shemachalir Alas HaShabbos, Imis Rapid Mehen. So Rav Arachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, any Makkah for which one will be permitted to go in and violate Shabbos, one is not permitted to be healed by an Akum. Which will say means what? Any Makkah which you are permitted to get healed from on Shabbos means what? There's Sakhanas Nefashos. There's some type of threat to life. If there's a threat to life, then one may not receive medicinal healing from an akum. Vika da ami amrabi okanon call top of Chav Ches on Dalaf 28a. Kol maka shel cholol in misrapin. And both say maka shel cholol means an internal injury. Any internal injury, one may not receive refuah from an akum. Because also the assumption that Gemara is operating with is that anything that is internal, by definition, is life-threatening. And therefore, again, this is just going the same general motif, that one may not receive any type of life-saving treatment, ultimately, from an akum. So Gemara says, my benayu. So what's the practical difference between? In other words, they both seem to be saying the same thing. What's the difference between when you say, any makkah that you can be mechal Shabbos for, you can't get treated by an akum. Any makkah shal chalal, you can't get treated by an akum. What's the common denominator between anything you can mechal Shabbos for and a makkah shal chalal? What's the common denominator? They're both life-threatening. So what's the practical difference between them? Ika benayu, both say, second line, Chav Ches Amud Aleph, Ika benayu, Gav Hayad v'Gav HaRegel. This is actually very interesting. The nafkamina between both say will be the top of the hand and the top of the foot. Rashi points out over here, Gav Hayad mechalal in Shabbos, afa pi she'ina shel cholol. So we'll say, interestingly enough, injuries on the top of the hand and the top of the foot are considered to be life-threatening, and that you can be mechal Shabbos for them. Even though what? Even though at the end of the day, they are not internal injuries. So the Gemara says, Gav Yad V'Gav Ha'Regel, Dam Rav Ata Bar Masna, Amar Rav, Gav Hayad V'Gav Ha'Regel, Harehin Kimaka Shel Cholol, U'Mechalin Alehin Es HaShabbos. Because also Rav Ata Bar Masna said, Amar Rav, that any type of injury on the top of the hand or on the top of the foot are considered to be like an internal injury, and one would be permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to go ahead and treat the patient. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvio, Amar Rav, Komaka Shetzvicha Umad, Mechalin Alehin Es HaShabbos. This is actually very interesting. So comes along Rav Zutra Bar Tuvio, says the name of Rav, any makkah, any injury, which requires an omad. So we'll say omad means an evaluation. Look at Rashi. Shetzvicha Umad, it's the first short line in Rashi. Shetzvicha Umad, Shemesukenes Kolkach Shetzarach La'amdo Im Yechye V'im Yamos. And I will say it's an injury that is so dangerous that a person requires an evaluation as to whether or not they're going to live or they're going to die. So we'll say what's interesting about this is as follows. In the previous situations, we were talking about injuries which by definition were life-threatening. If left untreated, the person would die. Makos shel umad, I will say, means that we're not sure. There's the possibility. So the person has to be evaluated to see what their matzav is. So Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says the name of Rav, any time that the makkah needs an evaluation, mechal in asa Shabbos. We're mechal Shabbos. In other words, that when there's evaluation needed, we are on the side of caution, meaning we are mekel with suffix sakonas and nefashos. Amar of Shemam Bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan, Vahai Ishta Samirta Kimaka Shel Cholol Dami. We'll say if a person has a fever, a high fever, that is considered to be like an internal injury, which by definition is considered to be life-threatening, we can be mechal Shabbos for it. So the Gemara says, Now that we've determined that any internal injury, by definition, again, is considered to be life-threatening, and therefore, again, aloch lamais, you can violate Shabbos in order to treat the patient. So the Gemara says, what is the definition of an internal injury? So mehechon makal shachal, what the Gemara is really asking over here is, what's the definition of internal? So peirush Rabbi Ami, me'asafa velefnim, from the lips inward. Anything from the lips and inward, by definition, is considered to be an internal injury for which one can be mechal Shabbos. By Rabbi Elazar, let's listen to this. Kabi v'shinimai. What about an injury on the lips and, excuse me, on the gums and the teeth. Kabi, our gums, Shini, our teeth. Well, so first of all, just a mazel tov to our honorees, who just, that's so sweet that you guys walked in together. Man, it's incredible. Shasha koach. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you both the koach to continue to do such beautiful things for the Kehila and for the whole community. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Shabbos says, so what about, again, Kabi Vishini? Ultimately, again, what about an injury on the gums and on the teeth? Shabbos says, so what, is that considered to be a makah shal chalal? Is that considered to be an internal injury? So the Gemara says, my, kevan da akushininhu kimaka debraidamu. Shabbos says, since they're hard, in other words, the teeth are hard, the gums are hard. So do we see that since they're hard, at the end of the day, that's more like an external injury than an internal injury? Odilma, kevun de gavai kaimi kimaka shel chalal damu. Or Rabbos say, do we say that, look, you just gave the definition, that's what? The definition of an internal injury, Rabbos say, is what? Anything from the lips inward. The teeth and the gums, obviously, again, are from the lips inward. So by definition, that should be like a makah shel chalal. So we'll say, so which one is it? So do we say on one hand, since they're hard, that by definition, again, that's considered to be like an external injury? Or do we say that since they're inside, meaning from the lips inward, it's an internal injury? So Rabbi Tashma, so Rabbi says, a choshesh b'shinav. Rabbi says, choshesh b'shinav means somebody is concerned that they have some type of ailment of the teeth. So lo yigama b'hena sachometz. You can't, we'll say, gargle with vinegar on Shabbos. I will say, now this is part of a bigger discussion. If you look at Rashi, Ligam b'Shabbos, Dicho refuah osur chachamim la'asos b'Shabbos, Heicha deleka sakana, Mishum srikas samimon. I will say, it takes us back to our Shabbos days. There is a rabbinic prohibition against engaging in any type of medicinal remedies on Shabbos. Can't take medicine on Shabbos. Can't treat an ailment on Shabbos. Again, that's non-life-threatening. Why? The rabbis came along and said, because at the end of the day, we're concerned about schikas samimonim. We're concerned that if we allow you to engage in medicinal healing, what's going to happen? You're going to end up grinding up herbs in order to make your medicine. Tochin is one of the lamates malachas, and therefore, again, there's a rabbinic prohibition against engaging in any type of medicinal healing. Obviously, there are exceptions to that, and we're talking about it in a very broad and general level. It's not talking about prescription medication. It's not talking about chas v'shalom people with chronic health issues. There are many exceptions, but that's the general idea. So the Gemara says as follows. Somebody who's choshesh b'shin rabosa, which means that I'm concerned that I have some type of tooth ailment, so you should not gargle with vinegar on Shabbos. So the Gemara Darshan is choshishu delo hakev leituva shapir tami. We'll say when can't you gargle with the vinegar? Only if you're choshish. We'll say what choshish means is I'm concerned that something's going on. But if I'm actively in a lot of pain because of my tooth ailment, I can. To which the Gemara says, well, say, what do you see from there? The fact that I can would seem to indicate that what? That again, a tooth ailment, or both say, is considered to be like an internal injury, which could pose a suffix sakanas nefashos, and therefore I could treat it. To which the Gemara says, the Dilma, Tanahecha de Kayavle Tuva Choshesh Nami Karile. It could very well be that at the end of the day, when even something that hurts me a lot, the Gemara still calls that choshesh. In other words, maybe choshesh doesn't mean that I'm concerned about. Maybe choshesh means I'm suffering with. So I will say, the Gemara doesn't seem to resolve it. The Rambam paskins that any type of issue with the teeth or the gums is considered to be like a makah shel chalal, is considered to be like an internal injury, an internal issue, and therefore one would be permitted to treat it on Shabbos. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Yochanan chash b'tzafidna. Rabbi Yochanan Abosei had a problem with safidna. Rashi says, what's safidna? Choli hashinayim. Some type of illness in his teeth. Okay, whatever type of illness that is. What happens? Azul gabada himatronisa, avda chamsha umaale shabsam. So he went before matronisa. We'll say now matronisa. Rashi says, ovedes kochavim haisa. Matronisa normally just means a Roman noblewoman. Rashi also points out over here, as we'll see, for reasons we'll see in just a few moments, that she was also an ovedes kochavim. She was an idolatress. See, he went to an idolatress for medicinal healing, for a tooth issue, which we just determined, we'll say that a tooth issue is what? It's considered to be a choli me'ayim. It's considered not a choli me'ayim. It's considered to be a makah shel chalal, right? An internal injury. So watch this. So she made for him, she prepared for him an elixir. She prepared for medicine to be taken on Thursday and Friday. Amar la lamachar mai. So she said to him, so he said to her, excuse me, what should I do for Shabbos? What should I do for Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amar le lo tzichas. You do not need anything for Shabbos. I mean, you'll be cured. Just take this Thursday, take this Friday, you'll be fine. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I eat tzirichna mai. We'll say, first, why line chav chesam adalef? No, what if I need something? See, he's concerned. What happens if there's a flare up and I need it? So Amra ishtabali de la maglis. So she said to him, listen, I'm going to tell you the remedy. If you swear to me that you won't reveal the remedy, the remedy is a secret, this is how I make my parnasa. If you swear to me that you won't reveal it, then I'll give it to you. So ishtabala la loka yisrael lo maglis. He swore that he won't reveal it to the God of Israel. Gal Yule, so she revealed the remedy to him. Lemachar nafak darsha bepirka. So the next day, what did he do? What did Rabbi Yochanan do? He went out and he gave a shir klali, and in the shir klali, in the general community shir, he gave out the remedy. He gave out the remedy. I v'hosh tabela. But 1 second. He went ahead and he swore to her. How could he have done this? He swore to her. See, he swore that he would not reveal it to the God of Israel. He didn't swear that he wouldn't reveal it to the people of Israel. But isn't there a chil Hashem? Meaning he swore to her that he wouldn't reveal it, and yet he did. To which the Gemara says, the Galila Meikara, ultimately, again, he told her from the beginning that he wasn't swearing, ultimately, again, to keep it secret from people. He was just swearing to keep it secret from God. I will say, what's happening over here? Rabbi Yochanan felt that it was unfair that this woman was keeping this remedy to herself, meaning at the end of the day, again, an ailment of the teeth could be potentially life-threatening. It's considered to be like a makah shel chalal, and therefore he felt he had a public duty, ultimately, to share this with the general populace. Therefore, I will say, what do you see from here? Amo ki makah shel chalal damyo. We see from here the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was ready to take medicine for this on Shabbos, that a tooth ailment is considered to be like a mako shel cholom. Amr Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, shiny safidna. Safidna, Rabbi Yochanan, this particular tooth disease is a bit different. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan, the way this tooth disease works is that it begins in the mouth, but ultimately, again, it makes its way and it spreads into the intestines. So therefore, again, it's not the pshat that when it's by the teeth, that it's so problematic. It's the problem, if left untreated, it could go ahead and seep in, mamish inside of the body and cause significant issues. So my simoni, it will say, what are the symptoms of tsafidna, this tooth, this disease that begins in the teeth and ultimately makes its way, b'nei mamos, means into the intestines. So the Gemara says, rami midi bekavi umaisi dama mibe dori. The symptoms of what are is if you push something against your gums, it begins to bleed from between the teeth. So apparently, again, gums that bleed very easily from between the teeth, that is the simen of safidna. So the Gemara says, mimai havi, how does one get safidna? Mi kariri kariri dechiti, from eating very, very cold, either wheat products or wheat bread, umichamimi chamimi disari, or very, very hot barley bread or barley products, umishiure kasa daharnasa. And I will say, or if you eat leftover fish hash. Right? So we spoke about fish hash. Right? Fish hash means it's made from the kishkas of the fish together with oil and flour. It's considered to be a delicacy. The only problem is if you leave it overnight, so apparently, again, it could have detrimental health effects. So if a person goes ahead and eats this fish hash, this akasa daharnasa that was left out overnight, that could cause safidna, which begins in the teeth and ultimately can infect the intestines. So the Gemara says, my avdile. So I'll say, ultimately, again, so what's the remedy? What's the remedy for safidna? So the Gemara says, Amar Avach Abrei Drava, Meisor v'shemen zayis umelach. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the remedy is you take water in which yeast was soaked, shemen oil, shemen zayis, olive oil, umelach, salt, mix that all together, Rabosai, and that is the remedy for tzafidna. Umar barav ashi amar mishcha da'avza, begatfa da'avza. You take goose fat, and you apply the goose fat to the affected areas on the gums and on the teeth with a goose feather. Amar Abaye says, Ana avdi kulu v'lo istoy. Abaye says, I've tried all of this stuff. Abaye apparently was afflicted with tzafidna. So I've tried all of these remedies, and it did not help me. Ad the Amr Yahu Taya, until one time, or certain Arab, we'll say Taya is an Arab. An Arab told me I should do the following. I see kashyasa dezesa. So I'll say he brought for me again the pits of olives, dilo malu tilsa. And these were olives that were less than one third mature. Vikalinu amara charata. And I will say he went ahead and he burnt it, or I should say, yeah, he burnt them, he cooked them on top amara charata. I will say means that amara is like a hoe or a shovel, or it's brand new metal utensil that has not been used. He heated up the metal, roasted the pits on the metal. Vidavik bay. And ultimately, again, they ground it up into some type of, into some, Vidavik Bey Beidari, excuse me. They went ahead and they ground it up into some kind of paste and literally applied it on the affected areas of the gums and, you know, the gums and of the teeth. Okay, so the Gemara says, of the Hachi Vistoi. So Abai said, I did this and I was finally healed from my tzafidno. Rabbi Yochanan hechi avrachi. But I'll say, how is Rabbi Yochanan able to do this? V'amarav arachana am Rabbi Yochanan. Komake shemechalin alas ha-shabbos in misrapin. But I'll say, how was Rabbi Yochanan able to get? So remember, going back for just a moment, Rabbi Yochanan, remember again, when he suffered from this tzafidno, this tooth and gum disease. So remember again, what did he do? He went to this matronis, he went to this abedes kochavim, and he asked her ultimately to heal him. How is he able to do that? After all, we just said before that any makkah for which you are permitted to be machal Shabbos, you cannot be healed ultimately again from an abedes kochavim. So how is he able to do this? To which the Gemara answers, Adam Chashuv Shaini. An important person is different. I'm also going to take a look at Rashi just a moment. Actually, it's the last short line in Rashi. Adam Chashuv Shaini, Umistaifi Mimalchusa Lemikta. I'm also remember again, what is the issue with getting medicinal healing from an Ovid Kochavim? The issue is that they may kill you. If a person is an Adam Chashuv, a very well-known and well-respected personality, so the Ovid Kochavim would be nervous to start up with such an individual. And therefore, again, Halacha Lemaisa, there's not a problem. I have a Rabbi Avo, Adam Chashuv. But one second, there's a story of Rabbi Avo, who is also an Adam Chashuv, Remele Yaakov, Mina Sama Asake. And what happens? One time, apparently, Rabbi Avo had some type of leg ailment, and Yaakov the Min, will say, not to be confused with Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya from yesterday's daf, to a different Yaakov, both of them meaning, right, but two different people. So one time, Yaakov the Min came and applied some type of ointment to the leg of Rabbi Avo. Was listen to this. Ve'ilo Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Asi d'lechachu l'sake, paski l'sake. And work not that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were there. Literally means they had to remove the ointment from Rabbi Avo's leg, which Rabbi say, d'lechachu literally means like to suck it out. Like, apparently, again, Yaakov the Min tried to poison Rabbi Avo, and they had to go ahead and get the poison out of Rabbi Avo's system. Were they not able to remove that ointment from his leg, he would have lost his leg. His leg would have been amputated. And yet, Rabbi say, what do we see? We see Rabbi Avo is also an Adam Chashuv. So you see that even if you're an Adam Chashuv, you still shouldn't take the medicinal healing from the Akum. To which the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan, Rofei Mumchehavi. Rabbi Yochanan, here's the difference. In Rabbi Yochanan's case, Rabbi Yochanan, the person who he went to was a Rofe Mumcha, was an expert doctor. What's the chap of the expert doctor? Rabbi Yochanan, second wide line of Rashi. The Rofe Mumcha hava, darminan la'el, im haya mumcha l'rabim mutter d'lo mari anafshe. Rabbi Yochanan, as we saw in yesterday's daf, that what? If a person is a Rofe Mumcha, which means he makes his parnasa from being a doctor, he has to maintain a certain level of professionalism. Otherwise, again, he loses his parnasa. Therefore, we're not concerned that he's going to kill anyone because he wants to maintain his parnasa. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Rofei Mumchava. Rabbi Avo Nami Rofei Mumchava. But Rabbi Avo's doctor was also known as a Rofei Mumcha. Shani Rabbi Avo Demukmi Mine Benafshayu Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. So we'll say, apparently in Rabbi Avo's case, as much as the person was a Rofei Mumcha, he applied the min applied to himself. Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. We'll say Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim is a statement by Shimshon. Shimshon, remember again, this is after his eyes have been gouged out and everything. He says, let me die with the plishtim. Remember, this is where he pushes down the pillars of the large arena where the Plishtim were, and he, in other words, he said, I'm going to go down with the ship as long as I could take as many Plishtim with me as possible. So this Chazal used this adage, Tamas Nafshim Plishtim, when someone is willing to go down with the ship. So as much as Rabbi Avoh's doctor was a professional, apparently, again, he was so bent on the strength of Rabbi Avoh that he was willing to take down his entire reputation as well. Amar Shmuel, Hai Padasa, Sakantihi, Umechalen as HaShabbos. I will say this Padasa, Rashi says, is Pantsa Makas Cherf. So this is actually very interesting. Padasa, I will say, is any time that a person gets an injury with Cherf literally means a sword. But in this context, it doesn't just mean a sword. What is it referring to? Any injury that's a result of metal. Which I will say is amazing, because what are they concerned about? A fear of what?
Infection.
A fear of infection. So any time you get some type of injury as a result of a metal utensil, that is a sakana, that's a sakanta, hypodas, a sakanti, or mechalinas a shabbos. My sister, so I will say, now we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about remedies. So remember, again, I'll give you a word of caution in case you leave early before I finish the shiur. Don't do any of these things that we're about to discuss. Don't try it. Don't recommend it. Right? I will say, again, remember, any time it comes to medicine, when Chazal speak about medicine, they're just simply echoing that which was societally held to be true. Now, again, it doesn't mean these things don't work, and it doesn't mean that they didn't work. They might have worked, whatever it was, but I'm just pointing out these things are not uniquely Jewish. This is not coming from some type of Judaic, Mister Judaic tradition regarding medicine, regarding healing. This, we saw this, remember again, like in the fourth parak of Gin. These are just the things that ultimately were done. So that's this entire sugya. So again, let's say a Hashem person gets an injury through a metal utensil. Mayasu, so what's the remedy? Lemif sakdama, to stop the bleeding, tachli b'chalo. You should take cress, mix it with vinegar, and drink that concoction. La suke, I will say, so la suke, Rashi says, means to heal it. Rashi says, la halos basar, shetich yamaka, to go and heal it, what should you do? Garda divla, vigirda da asna. So we'll say, what should you do? If you look at Rashi, he says, garda divla, Rashi says, esa shishmo yavla. You take some type of root that's called the yavla root or the yavla grass, vigirda da asna. And then you take it together with the fruit of a thorn bush. Asna is a snev, a thorn bush. And above, say, so mix it together. Oh, nikra mikil kolosa, Rashi says. Or you grind up the worms from the top of a garbage heap. And apparently, again, the protein, I guess, in that, or whatever the positive benefit in that, ultimately, again, could cause the new flesh to regenerate. Amar Rav Safra, hai invasa parvanka demalocha demusa. So we'll say this invanto. We'll say invanto means if a person has a boil that looks like a grape, this is the messenger of the Malach HaMavis, which I will say is an interesting thing. Wow, that boil looks like that's the messenger of the Malach HaMavis. So which means that you're in trouble. Which means that you're in trouble. So if we can get the messenger, so the verse Maya Susa, what's the remedy for such a boil? Tinga, or I should say tigna biduvsha o karpasa bitaila. So we'll say, what should you do? Rashi says, Tigna Bedovsha. So Tigna Bosei means, again, some type of asev, some type of grass, some type of herb that you mix up together with honey. Or the Gemara says, O Karpasa Betaila. Or you go ahead and you take a Bosei, Karpasa, Karpas is celery in the Gemara's context. You take celery and you go ahead and you mix it with strong wine. And what happens? You drink this concoction and this is the healing. Adhaki v'ahaki, while you're doing this, lesi invasa basmino, v'nigdar iluya. Furthermore, again, take a grape that resembles the boil and roll it on top. We'll say this can actually be interesting. This can actually be like the acidity of the grape that could have some type of positive impact on the boil as well. Chiyure lechiyurte, v'uchmasi luchmasi. A white grape for a whiter boil, a dark grape for a darker boil, roll it on top. Amarava, hai simta parvanka deshasihi. We'll say simta is an abscess. If somebody has an abscess, that is a messenger. We'll say parvanka is a messenger. Parvanka deshasa. This shows, we'll say, a person has an abscess. Often a fever is not far behind. Maya susa. So we'll say, what should I do? Maya susa l'mechie to heal it. Shisin is kotle. Shisin us is kutale. Look at Rashi. Shisin is kutale. Makas etzbat sereda midvika begodlo v'shom to makas. So we'll say, you should literally flick your fingers against it 60 times. Ulekare shesi va'arev. And then open up the abscess, tear it open. Ultimately, again, lengthwise and widthwise. V'hanimili. Delo shear, delo, excuse me, delo hire she. We'll say that's only if there's not a white tip at the top of it. But if there's a white tip at the top of it, then less lanba. There's nothing to worry about. Rabbi Yaakov, chash bepikar. We'll say amud beis. Rabbi Yoshi chash bepikar. Rabbi Yossi will say, Hanna Pikarash, he says, is pi taba'as sharei. So I'll say, this is some type of ailment by the rectum, or by the anus. So I don't know if it's hemorrhoids, or something of the sort. He says hemorrhoids. Good. Okay, good. Hemorrhoids, but I will say, I want to point out, this is external. We'll get to internal issues in just, we're gonna see everything. There is no PowerPoint, right? There is no PowerPoint. They just want to, right? So you're gonna use your powers of imagination on this one. But the idea of is he suffered with hemorrhoids. So we'll say, watch this. So Ori Le Rabbi Ami, Vomri Le Rabbi Asi. So we'll say, so the shaila is, what did you do for these things? So Rabbi Ami and some Rabbi Asi Ori Le Leisi Shev Bine Ala Tono. What should you do? Take 7 seeds of red aloe. 7 seeds of red aloe. Wrap it up, we'll say, in a piece of cloth. But which piece of cloth? Take it from the neck of a garment. Which we'll say, interesting of why the neck of a garment? It's soft. Because we'll say, think, now again, this is a used garment. Because think about also when a person schwitzes, also again, that's the part of the material that gets soft. So take the 7 seeds of red aloe, go ahead and wrap it up in a piece of the garment, ultimately again from the neck of the garment. V'lichrach iluya neira barko. And I will say, what should you do? I should say, v'lichrach iluyeh, and nera barka, and tie it up. So you're taking the 7 aloe seeds, wrapping it up in a piece of cloth taken from the neck of the garment, wrap that up with a piece of animal hair, v'tamish le benitvach yura, dip it in white naphtha oil, v'likle, right? Burn it. This is right, burn it. And then, badar le iluyeh. Then I will say, take the ashes, and apply the ashes ultimately to the affected areas. Ad dahachi vahachi, while you're doing this, leisei kashisa daasna, leinech pikia lahade pikia. So we'll say, listen to this. After you're doing this, what should you do? Literally, leisei kashisa daasna. Look at Rashi, which is Rashi almost right across. Kashiasa daasna, garin shal priasna. Take the seeds from the fruit of a thorn bush. So, b'tenim hagdelim b'sneh umaleim garinim. So we'll say, whatever these fruits are, these are the fruits that grow on a thorn bush. Take the seeds from the fruit of the thorn bush. Leinach pekia lahade pekia. And we'll say, and also now, apply those seeds to the affected area. Literally, again, so line up the slits of the seeds to the slit of the body. And ultimately, again, that'll also help affect medicinal healing. B'hanim yili, pekia ila. And we'll say, all of this is referring to what? All of this is referring to an external issue, or this is external hemorrhoids. This is talking about, again, outside, on the outside of the body. What about pikiya tasama mai? So we'll say Rashi says pikiya tasama, Rashi says befi hanekev milamata. Rashi calls, I guess, inside of the body, some type of internal hemorrhoids. So what do you do for internal hemorrhoids? So laisi tarba ditzafirta delo aftach. So we'll say, listen to this. Says Rashi, Tarpa de tzafirta de laftach, chelev sir shalo yalom. So we'll say, take the fat of a goat that has not yet given birth. Take the fat of a goat that has not yet given birth. Velifshar. We'll say, melt it down. Velishte bay. And apply it to the affected area. Ve'ilo. And if that's not possible, let's say you can't find that fat of the goat. Laisi talas tarfa kara. Demiav shebetula. So we'll say, ultimately, again, take 3 gourd leaves, the miyaf shibitula, that have dried out in the sun. So we'll say, this is amazing. What this effectively is like homeopathic medicine. So again, they're just simply taking any things that grow naturally, and somehow they found this. And I will say, I want to point out, my caveat before, don't try this at home, not to say that these things don't work. It's quite possible that they do work. But Lamais, again, just pointing out that this was not Chazal's unique Judaic knowledge of medicine. This is what was done to address these ailments. V'ilo, let's say again, velikli, velivdar iluya. We'll say, then you burn it, you take the ashes and you apply it. V'ilo, we'll say, first, why line chav chasam adays? It will say, if you don't have the gourd leaves, so what should you do? Laisi mishakke chelzoni. We'll say, you should take snail shells. Now, apparently what this means is you take the shells of snails, you grind it up, you take the powder, and you apply the powder to the affected areas. Ve'ilo, and we'll say this is not possible. So if you don't have snail shells, then what should you do? Maisi mashach kira. Velinkot mashach kira. So what should you do? So maisi mashach kira. So we'll say Rashi says over here, mashach kira is shemen zayis v'shayva trufen biyachot. Take olive oil and melted down wax and mix that together. Mix that together. I'm sorry. Maisi mashakira velinkot b'shachaki dekisna and go ahead. I will say bekisna kaito. I'm sorry, bekaito. And go ahead and take it and wrap that in. We'll say so. Kisna literally means like linen. And during the summertime, go ahead and wrap it in linen. Uda amar gufna besitva and wrap it in cotton. Ultimately, in the wintertime. Okay. Rabbi Avo chash bu'udne. So we'll say Rabbi Avo had some type of ear ailment. Some type of issue in his ears. Ori le Rabbi Yochanan, va'amri le Beit Midrash. So we'll say he was instructed by Rabbi Yochanan. Others say he was instructed in the Beit Midrash. We'll say chaf chesel beis, third wide line. To do what? My ori le, so we'll say what did the instructing tell him with his ear ailment? Ki hada amra abaye, amri le aim. So we'll say abaye said to me, my mother told me, lo ivri kol yasa ela l'udna. That we'll say the kulya is the kidney. The kidney of the animal is most helpful ultimately for what? For ear issues. The kidney of an animal is most helpful for ear issues. What should you do? Rava said, Amr li minyumi asya. Minyumi the doctor said to me, kulu shakainu kasha l'udna, levar mimaya de kulyasa. All liquids are difficult for the ear, with the exception of the liquid which comes from the kidneys. The liquid that comes from the kidney apparently has incredible medicinal value, specifically for ear ailments. So we'll say, so what should you do for an ear ailment? Laisi kol yosa de barcha karcha. Go ahead and take the kidney, that we'll say, of literally, barcha karcha means a bald goat. Right? So Rashi says, barcha karcha is eiz she'ina misturba b'tzimra karachel. It's a goat that is not covered with hair. A goat that's not covered with hair, which we'll say generally, goats don't have the same amount of wool as a sheep. It's just a fun fact. It might help you somewhere in life. At the end of the day, so go ahead and take the kidney from a hairless goat. Cut it open lengthwise and widthwise. And we'll say, put it on top of a fire. So we'll say, what happens when you tear open the kidney lengthwise and widthwise and you put it over the fire? So the juices will come out. What do you do? Vahano mayi dinafkamine, those liquids which come out of the kidney, the shadne buudne, put it in the ear. Put the kidney liquid in the ear. So they say, well, Sigmar says, but be careful. Lo kariri v'lo chamimi. Don't go ahead and don't let it be too cold. Don't let it be too hot. As if that's the biggest problem when you're putting kidney juice in your ear. But apparently, again, don't let it be too hot. Don't let it be too cold. We'll say, the real trick to this remedy is it's just got to be the right temperature. Mom, it's just that it's all in the temperature here. So the girl goes, right, to be low, and if not, so we'll say, let's say you don't have a kidney lying around. It happens. Right? So we'll say, so my bald goat kidney, I'm fresh out. So what do I do if I don't have bald goat kidney to go ahead and get the juices out of it? Ve'ilo, laisi tarba dechipushta. So I'll say, what should you do? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, chipushta, so we'll say, literally, take the tarba dechipushta gam lenisa, velif sharbei, velishti bei. So we'll say, so go ahead and take this item. Go ahead, gam lenisa literally means melt it down, velif sharbei, apply it to the velishti bei, and apply it to the affected areas. Ve'ilo, lemalye linudne mishta, vele aved shev, pasulta das pasta. So we'll say, why don't you look at Rashi just a moment over here. Rashi says, chipushta, gamlanisa gasav warnatun, paslisa das pasta, Rashi says, Allah aruch shoshachas, shoshachas yerek shachit. So we'll say, psilta das pasta means make wicks. Literally, make wicks out of aspasta. Aspasta means grain that is not fully grown. We normally translate it as fodder. Go ahead and make the wicks out of the aspasta. Balesi shufsa de tuma. And go ahead and take the Rashi says, shufsa de tuma. Beis yad shalshum. Take a clove of garlic. But I will say what it means is the leaves of the garlic from which you pull the garlic out of the ground. And what should you do? Velesav barka bechadresha. Rashi says over here, barka kamonira barka ser, velitli banura, veidach resha mosva buudna. So we'll say, now this is where it gets a little bit wild. See, in these situations, I will say what you're doing over here is you're going ahead and you're putting the liquid in your ear, you're using the aspasta as a wick, and you're putting the top of the wick by the fire. So it appears that you are igniting fluid in your ear. And I'll say, but the chaf over here is you're draining the liquid out of the ear through the medium of the fire. The liquid is slowly evaporating. But the Gemara says, but be careful. The Gemara says, be careful. The isdar mizeka. So apparently, again, what you have to be careful over here, we'll say, is with the wind. So never mind the wick in your ear that's burning, but apparently, again, you have to worry about the wind. So Gemara says, v'nishkal chada, v'nana chada. Now, allow one wick to burn out, and then take another wick. V'ilo, and if this doesn't work, leis yishev silta, v'yikra, go ahead, we'll say, and go ahead and use seven wicks from animal hair. V'shayifle mishcha da'ashpasta, and go ahead and we'll say, and shmir it again with balsam oil. V'nesi chadreisha benura, put one top of the wick in the fire. V'chadreisha be'udne, and the other part of the wick in your ear. V'nishkol chada v'nana chada. And we'll say, allow the wicks to burn out one after the other. These darmezeka. And we'll say, in all of these cases, apparently it's the wind that could have the negative impact on the individual. V'ilo, and I will say, remember again, this is all talking about multiple remedies in the event that you don't have one of these items mentioned. V'ilo, and I will say, for some reason, again, you don't have this remedy, you don't have the balsam oil available, then what? Laisi udra dinada, bring a piece of violet, the purple wool, dilo mashka, for I will say that has not been combed, v'narachba, put it inside the ear, the litle l'udne l'hadanura, and ultimately again put one side in the ear and the other side by the fire. Umizdar mizeka, and I will say, but be careful ultimately again of a wind. Vilo, if you don't have this, laisi gufsa dekanya atika bar meyashnin. I will say, if you don't have this, then you should take a reed, right? A reed, a hollow tube from a reed, but it should be at least 100 years old. Ulamelche milcha galanisa, fill it with rock salt, vilikle, burn it, vilidbak, and we'll say then apply it to the affected areas. And how do you remember what to do when? Visimanech retiva liyveshta, viyveshla retiva. We'll say that's the way to remember the different types of remedies. That which is moist is applied to that which is dry, that which is dry is applied to that which is moist. Amar Rabbi Bar Zutra. So we'll say Rabbi Bar Zutra, Ednei Rabbi Chanina. This is actually an interesting case. Ma'alin oznai v'shabbos. So we'll say, you could adjust the ear on Shabbos. I will say, again, I'm not sure medically what this is referring to, but Rashi apparently points out over here, it was the first wide line of Rashi, Ma'alin oznayim, gidei oznayim pamim, sheyardin lamata, umisparkin haleichayim, v'tzarech la'alosin yishtacham daros. I will say, apparently, it sounds like the ear gets dislocated. So the ear is dislocated, and apparently...
The joint here, which will cause pain.
Good, and dislocation of the jaw apparently as well, which could cause sakana. So the way apparently it presents is that the ears look like they're dropping or drooping. The ears look like they're drooping. So now the Gemara says over here, what can you do? So the Gemara says, and again I will say, this is mamish. Now the Gemara is not talking about any type of remedies or anything. Whereas mamish talking about an actual medical condition. So something is dislocated to the point that the ears look like they're drooping. And Rashi points out this is sakana. Now whether this sakana is because of the ears, or whether the sakana ultimately, because remember again, we already spoke about the idea the Gemara says, anything that's happening inside the ear could be a sakana, which makes sense, because that is called the makas cholo. But in addition to that, ultimately again, there could be permanent damage if this drooping of the ears is left untreated. So the Gemara says, Malon Aznayim B'Shabbos, we could go ahead and literally, what it means is lift up the ears, which means readjust this joint on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Biyad, Aval Lo Bisam. You could do this by hand. In other words, you could physically manipulate the jaw or the ears, but you cannot use medicine. So we'll say, again, what it seems to be saying is you can't use medicine. Why? Because it's a Dirabanan for medicine on Shabbos. So apparently, this is not enough of a sakana to warrant the use of medicine, but you can physically manipulate. So the Gemara says, Ikidamri. Others say, Bisam Aval Lo Biyad. Others say, no, that you can go in and you can heal it with medicine, but not with your hand. You can't physically manipulate. My time, what's the reason? Mazrif Zarif. We'll say, if you look at Rashi says, Mizrif Zarif, we'll say, second wide line, Oseh Chabura V'yeshchilu Shabbos Yosef. Alak Shiras Sam Ein Sham Chilo Doraisa. So it's apparently interesting enough, physical manipulation can actually create the Chabura, can actually create some type of injury, some type of mark, or some type of bruise. What's like creating bruising on Shabbos could actually be an issue of an Issa D'Oraisa because it is a Toldah of Shechita. We'll say anytime you cause bruising on Shabbos, Abosai is considered to be one of the Lamentas Malachos of Shechita. Therefore, interestingly enough, when left with a choice of using medicine, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan, versus causing a Chabur, which could be an Issa D'Oraisa, we would sooner ultimately again go with the medicine, which is the Issa D'Rabbanan. Aras, which of our Tovi Amarav, Ayin Shemarda, Mutar lakach la b'Shabbos. People say this is amazing. Literally, ayin shemarda means an eye that has rebelled. What does it mean, an eye that has rebelled? Look at Rashi. Shemarda sherotze lotzeis, which people say apparently means a bulging eye. So a bulging eye, on Shabbos, you are permitted to go ahead and treat it. Mutar lakach la b'Shabbos. Kachla means you apply like an ointment to it. You're permitted to treat it on Shabbos. Savar minei. So we assume that, what does this mean? This means if you have the medicine ground up from yesterday, you can go ahead and treat it today on Shabbos. But to grind up the medicine, or for that matter, to transport the medicine, you can't do on Shabbos. So there was a particular individual from the Rabban of Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. And Rabbi Yaakov said the following, I learned they know, I will say, for an eye issue, for literally a bulging eye, for an eye issue, you can even go ahead and make the medicine on Shabbos, and even if you have to carry it against from the Shabbos, you could also do it on Shabbos. I will say why, it seems to say why, because Lamaise again, it's Sakharas Nefashos. Rabbi Yehuda shared the michkol ina b'shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda allowed, Rabbi say michkol ina means to apply like a salve, to apply an ointment on Shabbos. Amar Rav Shomar Yehuda, man sayes li Yehuda, machol shavi. So Shmuel said, whoever listens to Rabbi Yehuda is being machal Shabbos. So we'll say, Rav Shmuel took a very strong stance and said, if you do this, you're being machal Shabbos. So we'll say, watch this. L'sof chash be'enai. One time Rav Shmuel had an eye emergency on Shabbos. He had an eye issue on Shabbos. Shalich lei. So he sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda. Shari o asir. He said to Rabbi Yehuda, what do I do about this? Is it mutter or is it asir to treat it on Shabbos? What does Rabbi Yehuda respond? He said, Shalich lei. L'kulei alma shari. L'didach asir. So Rabbi Yehuda sent back to him, for everyone else it's mutter, for you it's asr. Because remember again, Rosh Mozun came out and said, Rabbi Huda Paskin, that you could treat an eye ailment on Shabbos. Rosh Mozun sent out word, he made a declaration that what? If you listen to Rabbi Huda, you'd be Mechal Shabbos. She says, okay, for everyone else it's mutter, for you, don't treat the eye. So the Gemara said, V'chimi didehu. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, do you think this was my own shita? In fact, this shita came from Mar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, why? Where do we see what happened? There was this maidservant who was living in the house of Mar Shmuel. She had an eye ailment on Shabbos. So she was crying out the whole Shabbos that she was in intense pain. And no one listened. They both say, when we say no one listened, what it means is no one felt that it could be severe enough to warrant being treated on Shabbos. So what happened? Paka Ina, her eye burst. Nebuch, again, she lost an eye. So what happens? So at that point they realized that obviously eye issues can, and I will say, obviously if you get into a point where your eye is bursting, that's not just a localized issue. That's Sakharas Nefashos. Bless you. Lemachar Nafak Mar Shmuel V'Darish. We'll say the next day Mar Shmuel got up and he gave a drush and he said, Ayin Shemarda Mutar Lakach La B'Shabbos. I will say, if you have an eye that's about to rebel, which I will say means a person has an urgent eye issue, you are permitted to treat it on Shabbos. I will say, that is indeed halacha l'maisa. My time, I will say, what's the reason for this? Dishuraini de'ina bu'uvalta d'libatan. I will say, what this literally means is that the eye is literally, again, attached to the muscles of the heart. So again, lav dafka, that this is actually a physiological, I don't know, maybe it is physiologically true, right? But at the end of the day, what it means is that eye issues are sakharas nefashos. That's what it means. At the end of the day, eye issues are sakharas nefashos. Therefore, again, I will say, amazingly enough, this was a reactive halakha after seeing to what happened to this maidservant in the house of Mar Shmuel. they paskin halacha lamaisa any issue with the ayis akaras nafashas, and therefore it can be true on Shabbos. We'll say, we'll just do one more. Kigon mai. We'll say, what are some examples of eye symptoms which show you that something is wrong and need to be treated on Shabbos? Kigon mai. Amar Rav Yehuda. Kigon rira. We'll say rira means there's some type of emission from the eye. Ditsa. Rashi says, Lashonitza Triva, sharp pain in the eye. Dama, there's bleeding from the eye. Dimas, excessive tearing from the eye. Kidcha, there's literally, again, overheating of the eye. Vitrilas uchla, lafuge sof uchla. And I will say, again, we speak about treating of the eye. I will say, this only means at the beginning of the eye ailment, not at the end of the eye ailment. We'll say, what does that mean? What that means is, you're allowed to treat the eye on Shabbos. But if the eye has already been treated, it's just an issue that there's some residual pain. You can't treat residual pain on Shabbos. Because Rabbi says, as long as there's no emergent issue, meaning as long as the eye issue has already been treated before Shabbos, you can't treat the residual pain on Shabbos. If the eye issue has not yet been treated, then you could treat that on Shabbos as well. Upatsuche eino delo. Rashi says, Upatsuche eino shebalo kochlo kidei lo ha'ir maris eino lo. Rabbi says, but if you could tell that this is only an eyesight issue, but not an actual full eye health issue, then the Maisi can't treat that on Shabbos. So we'll say, Pipashos, the Rambam brings down the ability to distinguish that which is an eyesight issue versus that which is an actual eye issue is difficult, and therefore, again, we paskin that an injury or an ailment of the eye is considered to be sakaras nefashos, and therefore can be treated on Shabbos. We'll say, I'll stop over here. What's the pshat with that eye being connected to the heart?